Revolution podcast presented by Mike Wall Live, the place where we deconstruct the biggest challenges facing today's real estate agents so that they can build a sustainable, profitable, and most of all, fulfilling real estate business. Today, I'm joined by my friend and EXP business partner, Jeremy Johnson. Jeremy's fresh off one of the best months doing 7 deals. So I thought this would be a great time to get him on and talk about the trappings of success because he's been there, I've been there, and I know you've been there. Don't forget to visit MikeWallLive.com for 8 hours of absolutely free real estate training. Jeremy Johnson, are you ready to go for the third time, brother?
I'm absolutely ready. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yes, sir, man. Yeah, and I never like to put a negative spin on success. And I only say that because we've all been through it, right? We've had months where we've done really well, and then we've had months where we've done not so well. And the way this game works is it can be a little devastating to some people, especially if not done correctly, right? And so, really, what I wanted to talk about today, and we talked about it this a little bit in our Monday meeting, but I wanted to use this platform to really elaborate on it because you and I have been there together, right? We've been there in the trenches, and certainly we are no stranger to having great months and then having really challenging months. But before we get started, man, let's you know, the elephant in the room is, wow, what a great month. You did 7 deals. Tell me about how that feels, man, and kind of give me the background story on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great month. So, you know, was able to, you know, pull off 7 deals for my clients this month, this past month. And, you know, leading up to that, I had identified at the end of May, I had identified 11 opportunities for my clients to either buy or sell or both of the real estate transactions. So I identified 11. So that could happen in the month of June. And was successfully able to pull off 7 of those. You know, what you don't see in that number was all the ones we did not get, or you know, you have contracts fall through. You write contracts, you get into properties that are, you know, pending, things like that. So that's a great number, and I feel great about it. But you don't see the number of loss there. So
yeah.
It's always that other end.
That's just a statement to the fact that, you know, you've put together some really incredible months on the phones and in reaching out to your SOI and building that pipeline so nicely that, you know, you do have 11 people that, you know, you were working with for the month of June, and you were able to pull that off. And everybody knows, I would assume that most people that watch this or listen to this are in a very similar market where there's just not a lot of inventory, right? It's very tough to be a buyer in a market like this because houses are going for over the list price with multiple offers. And so it's tough to win. It's tough to win right now. And you have a nice mix of listings and buyers. And certainly it's nice to have listings because when you have listings, you know, you really, you kind of control your own market. But, you know, talk about when you have a month like that, talk about how do you feel? Like, I mean, coming off a month like that, now we're into July. We're the 9th of July, right? What do you feel like? Do you enjoy it, or do you compartmentalize it and then just kind of put it behind you and move on to the next month? Talk to me a little bit about that.
To be honest, it's day to day. You know, when I know that I'm having the success that I'm having, it's a great feeling. I don't necessarily feel like excited. I do, but it's kind of like a peaceful. It's relief. You know that I'm able to, you know, do this at the level that I'm doing at. It's a relief for myself. You know. Relief for my family, so it's exciting, but it's also relief. You know, when I'm in the midst of it, and I'm all this is happening, and really all at once, you know, within the 30-day mark, you know, successfully, you know, executing 7 contracts and writing a number of others that we didn't execute, and even you know, having to go back on the market for a particular listing for something that's completely out of our control. So all of this is happening at once. So when I'm in the middle of it, I'm completely dialed in, completely zoned in and focused on getting my clients what they need. So when I'm in the middle of it, it's just on to the next thing. You finalize the contract, your client's happy, you're happy for them, but it's just like, you just have to just transition to the next thing, especially when you have that much going all at once. And, you know, so you don't really have a lot of time to, you know, celebrate. As we all know, you get the contract, that does not mean you close. We have a long process and a lot to deal with along the way.
What? So now you don't get an accepted deal, and then you don't get paid right when you get an accepted deal?
No,
that's not fair.
You do not get paid for contracts. Contracts lead you to that. Your clients do not get their house. They do not get their house sold just based on a contract. That would be great if we did, because if we all made a living based on the contracts that we just wrote or the ones that we got accepted, we'd be all doing great. But that's not how it works. It's a long process, and you know, there's a lot of variables. It's great when there's things we can control, but we all know that most of the time it's not. There's a lot of moving parts of that. So, you know, so obviously that's something that I'm working with now, and I'm so lucky to have an amazing assistant to help me with, the process after the contract. So I'm able to get back out there, you know, because it is a new month, and you know, we're already on the board for this month with the listing signed and a new buyer contract. Time to celebrate. There's a little bit. I mean, I closed out the end of the month, in the holiday weekend. Had a good time with my kids, took them to the pool, relaxed a little bit. But yeah, I did have a thought why I was relaxing. And in the holiday weekend, I'm like, I do not have anything to celebrate anymore. This is a new month. And it's all about what's next. And if you celebrate too long, you're going to lose focus of the next thing. And that's just the nature of the beast here. So,
yeah. And, you know, we cheated a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy and I talked extensively before this, and we do these shows because what we're really interested in doing is adding value out into the agent community. And we're using some of the mistakes that we've made in our past in hopes that they help you kind of avoid and move through those. And what we'll try to provide in today's show is really kind of when you see certain things happening in your business, or when you realize you start to think a certain way, to be very cautious of that, right? Because there's two different things we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss, actually becoming successful in real estate. And then we're going to discuss actually being able to sustain that success, which are two different things, right? Because usually what we know, Jeremy, is that, you know, it's one thing to become successful in real estate, and it's a totally different animal to sustain that success. But there are two different requirements. I mean, becoming successful, being in real estate, being a new agent, and you know, you're not really a new agent anymore. You've been licensed for a while, but I know you've been licensed a short enough period of time to remember when you were a new agent. So I'll talk a little bit about kind of the evolution of what you went through in becoming successful and some of the bumps and bruises.
Yeah. I mean, I can dial it back to my first month and my first year in real estate. I've been in 4 years now. And but it's still recent enough to remember my first month. You know, it felt great to get my first two deals, and I got my first two deals within 2 weeks of having my license, and it felt amazing, right? And at that time, there's so much to absorb. There's so much to learn and, you know, taking it in all at once. So, you know, not making it, you know, making an excuse for myself, but I had a lot to learn. I didn't know anything compared to what I know now.
Yeah.
And so, but I got a taste of it and it was fantastic. Like I could be good at this. This feels great. You know, my license was in February. So out of the gate, I had two deals my first month.
And you were working a full-time job, by the way, too, which is awesome. So anybody who listens to the show today, if you're working a full-time job and you want to be in real estate, Jeremy is a great person to talk to set a good example
right.
for you and to help build a blueprint for you to help transition out of your full-time job into real estate. But sorry, man, keep going. I'm sorry.
Right. No, absolutely. So, you know, and then, so I felt the success, you know, it was two deals, but that was huge to me. Well, that was in February, March. I ended up only closing five deals that year in my first year. Now I was working still full time, but I was like, I started out so good and only ended up closing three more deals. So that I knew I had a lot to learn, but you know, still going into my second year, I was starting to figure it out, the importance of lead generation, and of course, you know, that's what you taught me, the importance of it. My second year was absolutely, I quadrupled, you know, my production in year two,
yeah.
So that felt great, right? So year two is going good. And we're going into year three. Circumstances arose to where I kind of got a push from the universe that said, it's time, you know, it's time to do this. And ended up making the decision to leave my job, and because things were going well. And going into year three, you know, first two quarters of the year, it's going good, man. It's going good. So, you know, again, about I guess sooner where we are this year, I was headed in a good place, but you hit a wall, and that wall was hard. And you know, professionally, personally, you hit a wall, and you can draw that wall professionally from stopping your lead gen because you're being successful, you're doing great. You know, I can remember the last time I was doing between 5 and 7 deals a month.
Yeah,
last year. So I was like, I could take off this, I could take off that. And I found out in quarter three and quarter four that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
That was a terrible idea. And that's what I'm trying to avoid now. And you and I have made a plan for myself. We're planning for quarter three, quarter four, because, you know, the pace that I'm at right now is you know, definitely on par to beat year two, which was, you know, better than year three because of quarter three and four. So that's what I'm working for now, Mike. I'm so humbled and blessed to have the, you know, the spring and summer that I've had so far, but I'm working right now for the end of the year. And that's where my sights are. So
let's dive in really quickly, because you actually just you mentioned, you know, the trapping number one, which is, you know, consistency, right? It's lead gen, it's consistency, it's showing up every day, it's putting in the work, and in this case, making the calls, right? So it's getting the airplane off the ground, and you're expending the most amount of fuel when you're taking off, right? And you have limited time, right? Because you're working a full-time job. But you know that if you show up every day, if you get a certain number of calls in, you can create a predictable revenue in your business. You can, in other words, you can predict, right. You can predict that business will start to show up for you if you consistently are taking the right activities each and every day. And so what happens is the business, right. It starts to show up a little bit, then it starts to show up a little bit more. And then what happens oftentimes, the big killer is, and I see this even today, is people say they want it, right? We talked about it at the meeting. They say they want it. The audio's there, but the video doesn't match. In other words, what they say and what they do, they don't match up. And so they might come in, but they come in inconsistently. They might come in a day, the first 2 or 3 days, they come in and they're here from 8 to 5. And then on Thursday, they don't get here till 11:30 because, you know, they had a refrigerator that was, they were meeting, you know, Best Buy at their apartment for a refrigerator, a delivery, right? And so they deprioritize the lead generation for refrigerator delivery. And then they, you know, what happens or what we see is more excuses start to pop up, right? Well, you know, I had to do this. I had to meet my insurance guy. I had to do all this. And the reality of it is we know, Jeremy, right? We know people making $40,000 a year that work 40 hours a week, right? And if you're not even willing to put in 40 hours a week in real estate, it's going to be very tough for you to make any type of impactful income because there's right now we have way more agents than we do listings. There's over 4,000. Yeah. There's over 4,000 agents right now in our local board. There's only roughly 1,200 listings, right? And that's a huge problem. So you mentioned the first one, right? It's just showing up and being consistent, and that's how you know you become successful. That's how you create predictable revenue within your business. But the trapping is inconsistency. So the trapping is thinking that, you know, because I showed up one day or 2 days or even 3 days or maybe even four, but I didn't show up the fifth or sixth or seventh, that real estate is just going to start happening for you. When in reality, you need to double your efforts. Remember to get the plane off the ground. It takes more fuel. So when you're getting a business up and running, you've got to expend more energy to get the business up. And right, people aren't putting in, they're not putting in the time or effort to do that. So talk about how you did that. What did you do? How did you arrange your schedule to make that work?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, when I was brand new to this life and working another job, that formula is different than what my formula looks like now. Just in summary, so. I worked through 3 or 4 o'clock and, we say here in our office, the best time to lead generate between, 9 and 11 a.m. And then you have between, 4 and 7 p.m., depending on the season or whatever. Sure. I had to get on the phone, consistently as soon as I was done with work. And, that's where the results started to show up. Now my life now, as a full-time realtor, I'm also a full-time father. I have 2 sons, a single father as well. My life, my schedule, it varies actually week to week. So my life when my sons are with me is different from my schedule when they are not. But the result is the same. I have to stay consistent with that schedule, whether they're with me or not. And consistency is the key. So my schedule is a little different. Obviously whenever I'm here, but the result is the same. I'm set up at home to do the same there as I am here. Yeah. It just takes a lot more efficiency and discipline. Yeah. Consistency is the key. These deals that that we were able to sign in June, that happened because I was calling on Saturday nights in February. That happened because in January, I was lead generating. It didn't happen because I was lead generating on May 15th.
Right.
I did business in May as well, but the what I saw in June wasn't a result of that. The deals, the current clients that I'm working with, that came as a result of past successes, past client referrals, people who already know, like, and trust me. So that even goes even further back. That's years in the making. And upon that, phone calls, the people that I had nurtured, those cold leads, Yeah. So as well as, you know, incoming, you know, team leads that we take. So it was a beautiful formula for how I want to, for my business to be going forward. It was a beautiful mix that, you know, just about 33.3%. And that you've heard us talk about it on here before. You got to have 33% of, you know, your SOI, clients and people who are, you know, friends, family, those sorts of things. But you also, you don't want to live and die by that because it's not as predictable. Then you want to have 33% of your cold outbounds. You need to be on the phones. Yeah. Everyone has their different way of lead generating, and whatever works for them, that's great. It may be different from ours, but this is what's working for us. So we got to get out there. You know, we got to extend, and we have amazing systems to do that. You know, and then also your leads that are coming in from your website sources and those sorts of things. Other lead sources. So, I mean, it was a beautiful balance, man. And it was just, it was awesome to see that because I've had months that were heavy in one area that was completely lacking in the other. It was just exactly how we drew it up. So,
yeah. I love it. And so, like, you're really at a point now because you're obviously a few years in and, you know, it's not that you've taken your foot off the gas. I think it's that you know how to manage your time better and that you've also had the time to build up a pipeline and you fell victim to some of the pitfalls like myself, and you've learned from your lessons. And now, you know, you've created these checkpoints in your business so that you can recognize when you're getting into one of these places early on. And that's what I recommend to you all watching this, is that you create these checkpoints for yourself, or you create some sort of an accountability partnership with a friend or coworker, and you guys hold each other accountable to make sure you're staying on task, right?
Right.
So, I mean, when you're starting to recognize, like, you know, your business. When you're checking in and you're starting to realize, you know, I'm at Wednesday here now and I've got 600 calls in for the week, like, you know, right? You know what you have to do. And what you're doing really is you're creating habits for yourself. When you have that little voice on your shoulder that says, I'm only at 600, I need to make sure and get another 600 calls in this week. When that voice is talking to you, then you know you're getting there. You know that that voice is creating. It's creating accountability for you. And I know that sounds weird to have you talking to yourself, but that is the reality of successful people is when you start having that internal conversation with yourself and you know what you need to do and then executing on that. And that's what you've done a really good job at. And, you know, we both learned the hard way, right? Because we've had the months we did really well. And then we've also had the months where we didn't do so well, but, the reason why we're having this conversation is so that hopefully you all who are taking this content in can avoid those pitfalls for yourself. So, you know, that really kind of encompasses becoming successful and being consistent in what you do and showing up every day and then doing the right activities, right? So the right lead gen and having the right data and so forth and so on, and then having that accountability piece. So let's talk a little bit more then about the scenario where you've done all that, right? But you've created so much business for yourself that you then are out showing property. You're going to listing appointments. You're having buyer discovery meetings at the office, right, with buyers who come in, and then all of a sudden, pitfall number two, right? Trapping number two is that you prioritize all those things above your lead generation, right? And we've done that before, and here's the danger of that, right? And we both know this. The danger of that is that the internal conversation you can have with yourself while you're doing that is actually a legitimate conversation. It's irrational, but it's legitimate in that moment because you're telling yourself, well, I'm busy, I'm making money from these activities, so I need to do this, I need to focus on this now, when in reality is the very thing that got you there, which is the lead generation, which is picking up the phone, which is, you know, which is doing all those things that you know, enabled you to get in front of that consumer, you're now prioritizing that to the bottom of the list and you're not giving it as much time as it absolutely demands. And then so what happens, Jeremy, that next month is whoop, right? Your business goes back down and you're like, what the heck? And here's what's so tough about that is once your plane goes down all the way to the ground, what do you have to do? You got to take off again, right?
You got to fuel it up and take off again.
You got to take off again. But again, that requires so much more effort than just keeping your business right here, right? And so you've been really cognizant these past few months about making sure that that doesn't happen. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is definitely what, I mean, probably the hardest one, right? So, I identified 11 different opportunities to get my clients in a house or sell a house at the end of May. And so I know I'm going to be doing a lot of activity, meaning I'm showing a lot of houses and I'm rushing to get into those houses because, as we all know, it's a race right now to get our clients in the door. So, I mean, you have to be aggressive. You have to be efficient. You have to be quick. I mean, if a property pops up at 4 p.m. and you know it's hot, and you got till 7 p.m. probably to get into it before there's 6, 12 offers. I mean, I'm telling you guys, I mean, I'm writing contracts against 12 or more offers sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's insane. You got to be quick. You have to be efficient. So I'm going, if my client needs to see a hot property and I'm it, you got to do it. You're going on listing appointments. You're turning in listing paperwork. You're developing marketing for your listings. It's a lot. So, but you still know in the back of your mind, you have to do, you need to tap into your lead generation or else you're going to be where you were before.
Stop right there for a minute, because here, this is the important part right there. What you just said is the important part. And this is where the paradigm shift should happen with most agents is, you know, right now you prioritize your lead gen above everything else. And the way you got there was because of what you went through, but you know now not to look at your lead generation any other way except for to be a top priority. Whereas before all of this happened, right, when we had our bad months, we prioritized the lead gen and then we deprioritized it and we saw what came from that. Talk about, like, what was the shift like for you, and like, how do you, what is the internal conversation for you now about your lead generation? How do you think people should talk to themselves or be able to prioritize that above everything else when, you know, we didn't do it ourselves? How can we help them avoid doing that?
Right. So, and quite honestly, I guess it depends on the individual. But for me, here's something about me. Sometimes we got to learn the hard way, right? You have to take a bump. And I mean, I've taken my bumps. Yeah. And that also goes with, you know, growing as a person, maturing.
Yeah.
So where I was, at the end of last year, walking into 2020, and be like, I have a mountain to climb because of the hole I got myself into. I took my bumps, I learned, I grew, and people don't burn out of it. It's an E.K. Johnson quote. You guys see me, you know, I quote E.K. Johnson. He's one of my favorite speakers. People don't burn out because of what they do. They burn out because of why they do it.
Yeah.
So it's simple. If you're if you're selling real estate or whatever your job, and your only motive is to, it's what's your number one goal? To make money. Well, we all want to make money. We wouldn't have a job or we wouldn't be selling real estate if we didn't want to make money. That's just the truth about it. But why I want to do this, why I chose this career, why I chose this life, because it's an incredible opportunity to give my family, my children, the life that I want them to have. So that's why I'm doing it. So not lead generating and not trying to develop my business, I'm not just hurting Jeremy. This isn't about Jeremy. This is about my children and their future too. So when I'm robbing myself and making those excuses in my head for reasons why I shouldn't lead generate, I'm not taking from just Jeremy. I'm taking from my children and taking from my family. And that's selfish. And I didn't always think that way. Yeah. And that's 100% my thinking now. You know, the times that I am not with my children, how can I be growing and serving children? That's by working and lead generating, because there's a vision in my head for the life that I want to give my family, and that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Because there's no other choice. So it just comes, you know, kind of just growing your emotional intelligence and focusing on what really matters to you.
Yeah.
Why no one loves making phone calls. I just said to one of the agents out in our office, we never have a good day on the phones. I mean, you get your nurture, you get your leads. Sometimes you hit a home run.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do. But, like, it's a tough game. Whatever your form of lead generation is, and we have a few. But that one, making phone calls, it's not sexy. No one loves doing that. But, you know, when the perception of a real estate agent is you just show fancy houses and you make a lot of money. And that is – they don't see the calls. And so where I cannot allow that to happen again, because – I'm not just taking from myself.
Yeah.
There's a bigger picture here.
Right.
And you know, that drives me like no other.
Yep. The practicing Stoic would say that you neither have a good nor a bad day on the phones. You just have a day on the phones. Whether it's good or bad is just your opinion.
Yeah.
But
just a day.
Yeah, it was just a day on the phones, man. And okay, so to recap, becoming successful, it's all about consistency. Your audio has to match your video. In other words, your activity has to be commensurate with your want to be successful in the real estate industry or in any business for that matter.
Right.
The way you do that is with consistency. You show up day after day and you do the right activities in the right order. And you surround yourself with the right people. And so number two is sustaining success. And the way that you do that, right, is that you, to sustain success, it's still about consistency, but you're adding in a layer, whereas you now have to be able to prioritize your lead gen above things that maybe seem more important, like going on showings, going on listing appointments, or meeting with buyers and sellers at the office, right? Those are very important activities, but they are still not as important as lead generating, because without lead generating, you would never be on those appointments in the first place. So,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, right, we talk about phones. We talk about phones a lot because as far as I know, here's the secret formula, and I hope nobody's listening to this. I really do, because Jeremy, between me and you, the secret formula to real estate, here's the secret. You talk to people who want to buy and sell real estate. The more people you talk
right.
to who want to buy and sell real estate, the more real estate you will sell. So it's
right.
just, people say it's a contact sport, and the reality of it is. The more people you talk to who want to buy or sell, the more real estate you will sell. And the reason why we love the phone
right.
is we know it's the best way to scale the number of conversations we can have on a daily basis. So until they invent a better way, we're going to continue to do it this way, because we want to sell a lot of real estate. We want to do 7 deals a month every month, right, Jeremy Johnson?
Absolutely. Yes, please.
And so, you know, again, we did this show, and Jeremy and I, we thought about this on a whim on Tuesday because we thought it could add a lot of value out into the realtor community, because we know there's a lot of you out there right now who have really good months, and we know that because you show up on social media telling about how good your month was, and then we don't see you on social media because, you know, maybe you didn't sell anything, and we want to help you avoid doing that. And so, if you have any questions about, you know, how Jeremy builds out his schedule, what the generation process looks like, who he calls, Jeremy, what's a good way to get in touch with you, man, if people have more questions about how you run your business?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few ways you can get a hold of me. Obviously, my personal Facebook page is going to be linked to this. I'll also share it to my business page. But my email address, jeremy@loveohioliving.com. My business cell phone number, 513-532-7989. Call, text me if there's any questions that, you know, I can answer for you. Like Mike always says to me, the reason we do this, because we want to help others. You say thanks to the people who are helping you. And you reach your hand back for the people coming behind you. That's, you know, and that's what we do. So if you have any questions for me, you know, and I still got a lot to learn, and I'm willing to take new advice and new experiences from everybody else. You know, I just would love to share the growth and, you know, also learn from, you know, all of you out there.
Love it, love it, love it, man. We are humble students of the game, no doubt. As usual, I love sharing these stories week after week because I know this show is literally changing agents' financial lives, my own included, Jeremy's included. Do me a big favor. If you know someone that might enjoy the podcast, please share it with them. And if you like the podcast,